KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local. The KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team, up next. Looking for a career, not just a classroom? At Flint Hills Technical College, they don't just prepare you for a job, they help you land one. With a 97% job placement rate, FHTC graduates aren't wondering what's next. They're already working in high-demand fields. Hands-on training, industry connections, real results. Flint Hills Technical College. Your future starts here.
KVOE forecast on the TV 13 weather team today. Sunny and mild with a high of 66 degrees. A light northwest breeze expected. Clear sky tonight with a low of 40. Tomorrow, occasionally breezy. Another high fire danger day with a high of 75. Lots of sunshine. And Saturday, sunny, occasionally breezy with a high of 70. Sunday, wintry mix possible with temperatures only in the mid-30s. Monday, chance of rain with a high of 41. That's your forecast on KVOE, live and local.
KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM present the Talk of Emporia, bringing you local issues, topics, and events of the day.
And welcome to Talk of Emporia, 14 KVOE, 96.9 FM, and KVOE.com. Chuck Samples, your host here today. Our Talk of Emporia is brought to you by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. Don't trust your catering to just anybody. Get somebody that has the experience to make your event successful. It's Bobby D's. Call today to book your event. And also by Newman Regional Health, offering more medical specialties and convenience than ever. That is Newman Regional Health. Well, it's a busy time for the National Weather Service because, really, in a way, they've been transitioning, or at least keeping an eye on the transition from winter weather to spring weather for a few weeks now, and it's about time for the annual Severe Weather Awareness Week, and it's coming soon. We're pleased to have with us here on the KVOE Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio Line, Weather Service Warning Coordination Meteorologist Chad Omit from the Topeka office. Chad, good morning. How are things going for you today?
Hi, Chuck. Doing pretty good.
Good. How busy are you in the office ahead of Severe Weather Awareness Week next week?
Well, it is. It's really starting to get a lot busier over the last couple of weeks as we start to look ahead, transitioning out of winter and into severe weather season. You know, it's been quiet probably more often than not over the last 5 years, and I don't want us to become complacent because we can have a very active year. And I was talking to you just a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
It looks like we might start off very active this year, and so we can talk about that a little bit here this morning.
Indeed. Now, the winter time period, you mentioned here about how mild it is. I think we've only had, you know, one accumulating snowfall here in Emporia. That was back in the, you know, middle of January. We've had I think we've just lost Chad. As a matter of fact, we're going to have to come back and get him because we have a lot of things that we do need to talk about. So we are going to take a break a little early here on the KVOE Talk of Emporia and get Chad Omit, Weather Service Meteorologist, back on with us. Our program today brought to you by Newman Regional Health and also by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. Good morning. Chuck Samples, KVOE News, with our local news headlines this hour. Over 1,100 Evergy customers have been offline in central and southern Emporia for part of the morning. Outage issues first reported around 10:15 this morning. Evergy's outage map indicating customers offline from 12th and Commercial south to near Road 155, so that's just south of Emporia. Locations like most of downtown Emporia, the David Trailer Zoo, Logan Avenue School, Peter Pan Park, all affected after a vehicle apparently hit a pole near 1st and Commercial. Updates pending through Evergy here this afternoon. Roughly 6 months after vacating Cora Miller Hall, Newman Regional Health's Board of Trustees passed a resolution yesterday that will ultimately lead to the building's removal from the hospital campus over the next 3 to 6 months. And with the Emporia Recreation Commission now resuming conversations about both the new rec center and upgrades to Lee Barron Recreation Center, we have our latest KVOE News poll online at KVOE.com. Details at 12:05 this afternoon. I'm Chuck Samples, KVOE News.
It's Teddy Bear Clinic time. I'm Eli, and I can't wait. Join Newman Regional Health Saturday, April 11th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Children are encouraged to bring a favorite stuffed animal to participate in learning about the importance of healthcare, including regular checkups, first aid, immunizations, x-rays, and more.
For information, or if your organization would like to be a vendor, visit newmanrh.org/events/teddybearclinic. Don't miss the Teddy Bear Clinic, April 11th at the Flint Hills Mall.
Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue is open on Sundays, a perfect day for church groups, life groups, family, and friends to gather for some great-tasting barbecue. Just call ahead if you need a large table. Enjoy their full menu along with some special menu items just for Sundays. Bobby D's also caters on Sundays. Visit their Facebook or website each week for the Sunday specials. Dine in or carry out. They look forward to seeing you this Sunday at Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue in downtown Emporia.
You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Talk of Emporia continuing here on KVOE and KVOE.com. Let's see if we can bring back Weather Service meteorologist Chad Omed. We were in the process of talking about the winter months, which have been unseasonably mild and really not that wet. So, Chad, what do you see as really reasons why we did have the abnormally mild and, for the most part, pretty dry winter that we've had to this point?
Hey, Chuck, I got to tell you, I've got news in my ear right now.
You got news feedback? Okay, let me.
People talking to me right now.
Sure.
I can barely hear you.
Okay, hold on. Let me see if I can make some changes down here. Okay. Again, we're here with Weather Service meteorologist Chad Omet. We're having some issues again. He's got feedback in his ear right now.
Yeah, I've got your newscast going at the same time that you're
Taking's working on a few things. Is that a little better for you right now?
Yeah, this is good.
Okay, all right. Well, let's try it again. Let's figure out here why we had such the kind of the dry, mild winter aside from a couple of different instances here.
Yeah, you know, we had what we call a weaker La Nina over the winter time, and that can lead to variable conditions with colder than average temperatures up north of Kansas, typically drier and warmer conditions to our south. We're in that typical crossroads or sort of the mixed zone or very active zone of the different weather patterns and air masses across the country, and it was a pretty typical La Nina winter. Now we for precipitation, we were about average. Snowfall a little bit below. We had about a foot of snow, about 12 inches in the Topeka area so far this winter. When I'm talking about winter, December 1st through the end of the month here in February, we typically average about 17, 18 inches around the Topeka area. We've had about a foot so far, so a little bit below average. Moisture-wise, about average, but most of that came here in the last couple of weeks. So we had some dry spells early on over the course of December into at least the first half of January. So really sort of a variable winter, but all told, a little bit warmer than average and about average for moisture.
And as you mentioned here, really as we got our program started, well, it looks like the next, 7 to 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, kind of, you know, the March coming in like a lion for sure with the wintry mix that got added to the forecast period here overnight.
Yeah, it's going to start with some mixed precipitation on Sunday. At this point, it doesn't look like anything heavy. It could be just sort of a messy mix of rain, maybe a little bit of freezing rain, sleet, snow as you head north and east. Further away from Emporia, but I think around the Emporia area, east central Kansas, probably a mixture of rain, maybe a little bit of freezing rain or sleet possible later Sunday into Sunday night. That's just the first round. After that, we warm up, and boy, do we ever transition into a very active and very wet pattern, it looks like, for at least the first couple of weeks of March.
Whenever you talk about a wet March, you know, and it looks like temperatures may be a little bit mild, you do have to start wondering what type of severe weather we might be dealing with. And I had a chance to peek at the Storm Prediction Center's outlooks last night. My son actually kind of prompted me on that because I wasn't going to check. And it did say something about, you know, the potential for severe weather. At that point in time, it would have been, I think, probably day 9, day 10, which is just outside of the range that the SPC provides to the public. So it looks like the end of next week could be active.
Yes, it looks like we start to see a storm system, the storm track sort of takes a big dive call it a trough across the western part of the country, and then it'll eject some energy. These little storm systems will move across the area probably every 2 days, and it'll help to develop these areas of low pressure, and it looks like we're going to have enough Gulf of Mexico moisture at least to provide showers and thunderstorms, widespread showers and thunderstorms. Now, whether or not we get the setup for severe weather, it's hard to tell at this point. Seasonally, the climatology suggests maybe just south and east of us, but it looks like it's going to be such a prolonged period of active weather that it's hard to rule out at some point over maybe later next week into next weekend, or maybe the second week of March, we could see some severe weather across the area. So it's not too early for severe weather.
Well, it does set up the prime time, and really the way it seems, you know, opportune time to talk about Severe Weather Awareness Week. Well-timed as always. It's usually, the first or second week of March, and all next week is dedicated to Severe Weather Awareness Week across Kansas.
Yep. It's some people ask us why so early. Well, it's not really all that early for Kansas, just like we're going to experience beginning next week, later next week. You know, we start to get into these active patterns, and we get the Gulf of Mexico moisture up here, the dew points in at least the mid-50s, if not a little bit higher, and then we have the ingredients in place to get those widespread areas of thunderstorms, heavy rains, and maybe even some severe weather as well.
I remember in years past that Severe Weather Awareness Week is basically it's broken down into different days or daily focal points. Is that going to be the case again this year?
Yeah, we're going to try to continue that. And for each day, we're going to talk and emphasize maybe a different focus. And on Monday, we're going to talk about the importance of preparedness and awareness. We've done this in the past, so it's nothing new. But it is important to look at having a plan in place, identifying your shelter specifically for tornadoes beforehand, following the general principle of getting as low as you can and putting as many walls between you and the outside as possible, getting underneath something sturdy, covering up with something heavy. Identify where that shelter is, the best that you have at work, at home, at school, and then practice your plan. Know how long it takes to get to your shelter. And then the importance of awareness, having at least a couple of ways to receive watch and warning information.
Chad, when it comes to the preparedness side, you know, for those of us who have lived in the Midwest, whether it's Kansas or really I want to say the central third of the country, you know, we have to take into account the possibility of all severe weather hazards. And clearly tornadic activity still is going to be the one that gets the most attention for a number of reasons. I guess the question that comes to my mind is it getting to be so old hat here as far as the talk about preparedness or receiving the talk about preparedness that we, and especially here locally, we haven't had a lot of tornadic activity since the Eureka tornadoes back close to a decade ago now, that some of that message may be starting to fade a little bit until maybe there's the next one and then everybody starts figuring out that, oh, well, yeah, we should have done that.
I sure hope not. And, you know, that's just one of the things that our message is we can't. We live in Kansas. If you've lived here long enough, you know that from year to year it really varies from how busy we can be. And the fact is we're going to have severe storms. We're going to have tornadoes this year. Last year was a very quiet year across the state of Kansas, not only in the listening area, but really across the state. We only had 30 documented tornadoes. We average about 80. And that's surprising when I say that to people. Yeah, the 30-year average is still 80. We still are number two in the country for documented tornadoes. And so this could easily be a year where we exceed those numbers and we can't get complacent. We've got to take it seriously.
On the severe weather awareness side of things, everybody points at tornadic activity, but what are, in your mind, some of the hazards that severe weather brings that don't get the attention that they should?
You know, if you look at the mortality data, the number of people that we're losing, say, over the course of the last decade or so, and we're losing more from flooding. And it doesn't generate a lot of attention because I think what happens is, most of the time that we lose somebody from flooding, it's in a vehicle, and it may only be one person. And it makes the news, but it's not like a strong or a violent tornado hitting a city where it really generates a lot of headlines. It's like a plane crash that really shapes our perception of what's more dangerous or what we really need to be worried about. And yet flooding is something that has, well, I think we've lost seven people the last decade from flooding, one from tornado and one from lightning. And that's not to downplay the risk from tornadoes, but it is to highlight the idea that we're losing more people from flooding than we are from lightnings and tornadoes combined, at least over the course of the past 10 years. And most of it's at night when people are in cars.
That's very true. Turn around, don't drown. We always say it, but we don't have a whole lot of people injured, but we do have a fair amount of people that, even with that guidance, they're still driving out and getting themselves into floodwaters. And the number of water rescues that we cover is pretty sobering.
It is. You know, that's one of the things when people say that, well, seven over the last 10 years is not many. It is, relatively speaking, because the vast majority of people that get themselves into potentially life-threatening situations are rescued. And so there's a lot more people that are getting themselves into dangerous situations by driving into flooded roadways than are actually losing their lives, thankfully. But we would rather you not do that. And I'm speaking for all the first responders out there, too, that we just don't want to get people into those situations in the first place. And if you come to a flooded road, you never know the condition of the road underneath. You really don't, especially if it's over a culvert. The road might be washed out. There might not be a road. And so it's just very dangerous, especially at night in areas where you're not familiar with as well.
Weather Service meteorologist Chad Omid, our guest here on the Talk of Emporia today, 11:22 on KVOE. Before we take our final break, Chad, let's talk a little bit about the spotter training sessions. Those schedules came out here over the last 2-3 weeks or so here in Emporia, setting up for the Preston Family Room in late March. Anything that's significantly different or maybe updated here with the presentations that will be coming over the next couple of months?
Well, we're going to just reemphasize the importance of situational awareness and having information that can help you stay as aware as you can be and have that in the palm of your hand. We talk a lot about the importance of having weather information on your phone, and that can be a radar app, that can be a watch or a warning app, it can be something that delivers information to you so that you can keep your situational awareness high. And so that's something we're going to reemphasize again this year. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the Storm Prediction Center's new hatched or intensity categories, because that's new. I don't know how many people are familiar with it, and we'll talk about it a little later, but that's something we'll touch on as well this year.
Yeah, and actually that is going to be our focus as we come back here from the break. Weather Service meteorologist Chad Omid joining us. Severe Weather Awareness Week all next week across Kansas, and it could be active really for wintry weather to start next week and the possibility of some thunderstorm activity as the week progresses. So we'll take our final break here on the Talk of Emporia. It is now 11:24 on KVUE and KVUE.com. Talk of Emporia brought to you today by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue and Newman Regional Health.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Members of the House Oversight Committee are in Chappaqua, New York this week, interviewing Bill and Hillary Clinton about the Epstein files. Committee Chair James Comer insisting this is not a partisan investigation.
The Democrats voted to subpoena the Clintons. The Democrats voted with the Republicans to hold the Clintons in contempt. So the Democrats have just as many questions for the Clintons as the Republicans. So this isn't a partisan witch hunt.
And Democratic Congressman Robert Garcia adding,
now that we're going to hear from former President Clinton, I hope that Chairman Comer and the Republicans will join us in demanding that the person who actually appears more times in the files than the former president, who we want to speak with, is President Donald Trump.
Iran and the U.S. holding more talks in Geneva about Iran's nuclear ambitions. Investigations underway after Cuba says 10 people on a speedboat registered to Florida opened fire on a Cuban Border Patrol boat. Four of those on the U.S. boat killed. This is ABC News.
Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue is open on Sundays, a perfect day for church groups, life groups, family, and friends to gather for some great-tasting barbecue. Just call ahead if you need a large table. Enjoy their full menu along with some special menu items just for Sundays. Bobby D's also caters on Sundays. Visit their Facebook or website each week for the Sunday specials. Dine in or carry out. They look forward to seeing you this Sunday at Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue in downtown Emporia.
Flu season is here. Don't let it slow you down. If you're feeling under the weather, Newman Regional Health Medical Partners Express Care is ready to help. Open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and weekends and holidays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. because your health matters every day. Walk in or call ahead at 620-343-7828. Fast, friendly care when you need it most. Newman Regional Health Medical Partners Express Care. Your health, our priority.
You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
12 o'clock hour of news and information coming up here shortly on KVOE and KVOE.com. Be sure to listen in. Tegan Trahoon has her next newscast coming up at 12:05 here locally. Talk of Emporia, meanwhile, underway now. We're into our final segment with Weather Service meteorologist Chad Omid out of the Topeka office. And I know here, what is it, about a month ago, Chad, that there was a lot of buzz that hit the Chaser community specifically about the new, as you mentioned here at the end of the second segment, the Storm Prediction Center's new graphical information that came out, and just how different this appears to be looking versus what some of us have been paying attention to for a number of years when it comes to the graphic risks, the hatched areas and things like that. So before we start talking about it, and folks can follow along, but they're going to have to go online to the Storm Prediction Center's website to find this. From your conversations, what were the reasons behind this new set of graphics and what these are supposed to lay out?
Well, I think the Storm Prediction Center wanted to have a little bit more flexibility in the ability to indicate where certain environments may lead to more extreme intensity of hazards. In other words, they wanted the ability to show where thunderstorms might produce EF3 tornadoes versus EF0, EF1s, and even EF4 or violent tornadoes. They wanted to sort of drill down into that, I think, that area where they felt they had some skill to recognize environments that in the past have led to stronger violent tornadoes. And they feel they have the ability to actually depict geographically those areas that have the risk for stronger violent tornadoes. In the past, they've used these little drawn these outlook areas with the colors and the category words like slight, enhanced, moderate, and high. None of those are changing. The words and the colors remain the same. It's just these little graphical areas with hatching on them, lines and dashes and things like that. Those are the areas that are going to indicate intensity information about maybe how big the hail could be, how strong the winds might be, or in the case of tornadoes, how strong the tornadoes might be.
Okay. At least from what you've been able to gather, I haven't seen a whole lot of opportunities yet to break this out. But do you see this as a promising move here for those of us who are trying to relay information to the public?
I think so. I think it's just going to be something new that we all have to get used to. I think, you know, the most important point is that the National Weather Service offices in Topeka and Wichita, the local offices, it's always been our job to sort of distill down in plain language for everybody, you know, what's the takeaway? What are we looking at, you know, in the terms of these intensities or categories of intensities? We're just going to do our best to sort of explain to you in plain language what that means for you. And, you know, if you're looking at it, for those that are familiar with the Storm Prediction Center, you know what we're talking about, the hatched areas and things like that. Now there may be two or three different hatched areas on top of each other. And basically the takeaway is the more hatched areas you see, if you're under one of those, the worse off it is, the worse that it reflects in terms of the potential for stronger, maybe even violent tornadoes, specifically as it relates to the hazard intensities for tornadoes. They do have three categories. I guess there's three intensity categories for tornadoes, category 1, 2, and 3, and then there's 2 for hail and 3 for wind. And like I said, it's going to be our job to sort of try to distill it down in plain language, what it means and what to expect.
That leads to a question I hadn't considered asking, Chad, is, you know, not only in the language side of things, but also on the graphics side. Does this change kind of how you approach getting graphics ready here for short-term severe weather bouts, and does it change the amount of time you're going to have to spend on those?
I don't think it'll change the amount of time that we spend on it, but I think, yeah, we're definitely going to try to utilize the graphics that are produced, because I think, like I said, you know, in a sense, the takeaway is the more of these hatched areas you're under, the worse it is. It tends to reflect the volatility of the atmosphere, the widespread nature, maybe the coverage and intensity of the hazards. And so it's just another way to sort of try to convey risk. And we're going to try to do the best we can in plain language to explain it to people. And I think after the first year, people will start to understand it a little bit more of what it's trying to say.
Okay. Well, Chad, I really appreciate your time with us. I know you have some things you got to get to here pretty quickly. So I appreciate you spending a good solid half hour with us here this morning. And I know we'll definitely be in touch here throughout the severe weather season. And we'll see how quick it comes upon us. But we all got to be ready right now.
Yep, and I really appreciate the work you guys do every year. Another shout out to you guys. We appreciate KVOE as well, and terrestrial radio still lives, has a purpose, and still very important in this day and age.
Outstanding, Chad. Thanks again. I know we'll be in touch. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. See you.
Chad Omet, National Weather Service meteorologist, our Talk of Emporia guest here today. It is now 11:32 on KVOE Live and Local.
KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local. The KVOE forecast from the TV 13 Weather Team, up next. As we experience Kansas weather...